Morning.
Good morning.
Good to be with you again, beloved. Before I start, if you notice any change in my appearance, it's only temporary. Strange enough, that's what we're going to talk about. As though you haven't heard that word enough, it's called change. You know, man makes changes, and God makes changes. Man's change is always for the worse, mostly for the worst, and God's change is always for the better. We're going to look at that word change this morning. Making or becoming distinctly different. Sometimes we talk about change as a partial remedy to modify or alter. But sometimes change is radical. It's the replacement with one thing for another. It's substitution or replacement with something else. Man makes changes, and the Bible addresses that. So to begin this morning, we're going to look at the book of Romans in chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1, and we begin our reading there at verse 21. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use for that which is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was fitting. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not seemly. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornications, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, insolent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God that they who commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You have to be You must have been living in space if this word is not, you don't hear this word every single day. You hear phrases like change we need, change we can live with, change is coming. And as we look into God's word and we look at what has happened down through the ages, we find that mankind has been offering change, and for the most part, it's change for the worse. It is the change that has put us further and further away from God. And the first thing we did, we went from the worship of God to idolatry. And we have taken what God has created, and we have turned it into something else. We have abandoned the teaching of creation and replaced it with evolution. The Bible clearly states that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We talk about evolving from some lower form of life. And our purpose is to get God completely out of our minds, out of our thinking, out of our society altogether. And in spite of the manifestation of God all around us, we put him out of our minds. We do not like to retain him in our minds and in our thinking, because we will be responsible to him if we ever acknowledge that there is a God and he is responsible for creation. So we say, oh no, that didn't happen. It's all by accident. We change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. And the God who created us in his image, we are now attempting by our efforts, by our desire for change, to create God in our image. And we tell ourselves that we are God, we are gods as well. You're a God and I am a God. And we set up things, whatever they might be. We create things with our hands and we say, this is your God. And we make God in whatever image pleases us, into the image of corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts, because we do not like to retain God in our minds, in our hearts. So we tamper, first of all, with his creation. We tamper with God, the image of God. We tamper with the truth of God, and we receive and we propagate a lie, and we call it advancement. We call it progress. We change what God has ordained when he created a man and a woman. And suddenly we have become so sophisticated, we have become so smart, we think we have a better way, and we think that that's not quite right. So we make changes. God created a man and he gave him a woman, and that was his order, and he brought them together, and he ordained marriage between a man and a woman. And he told them to, they have responsibility now in filling the earth, becoming fruitful. And we say, well, we have a better way. We're going to make some changes. We don't want Adam and Eve. We want Adam and Steve. We don't want to be Adam. I want to be Eve, Adam says. That's man in his effort to make changes. And Eve says, I want to be Steve. I am not comfortable in this body that God has created. God called them male and female. And we decide to make changes and we create something else. And we have not now male and female, but we have transgender. Because we are not satisfied. We want to make changes. And I'm not comfortable with this. God made a mistake and I'm going to correct it. I'm going to make some changes. In Genesis chapter 2, he made the woman, he gave him to Adam, and he ordained that they should be man and wife. And this account is referred to by our Lord Jesus Christ when he was asked a question about marriage and divorce in Matthew 19. And Jesus answered it this way. Have you not read that in the beginning, God made them male and female? That's what Jesus said. It is written there in Genesis chapter 2, now in Matthew 19, in God's creation, male and female, husband and wife. Therefore, shall a man leave his mother and his father and shall cleave to his wife, and they both shall be one flesh. But we want to make progress. We want to make change because we don't like what God has done. And so we are saying, we have a better way. We want to make some changes. Therefore, we're gonna have a man married to another man and a woman married to another woman. And we don't care about what God has said. We have a better way. But in doing this, we violate God's principle and God's laws, because two men cannot be fruitful. Neither can two women be fruitful. But we don't care about that. We have invented other things, created other things. One of the most wicked and evil changes we have made is trying to make a man out of a woman. And we call this sex change, but it is total mutilation. That's what it is. And we are being fed with this nonsense. It made me sick to my stomach when I saw in the rag sheets that a man was having a baby. Whatever they do, they cannot make a man a woman. And they cannot make a woman a man. And people are grabbing these headlines as though they mean something. Oh, look at what's happening. God was wrong. A man can have a baby after all. Which is one of those acts of mutilation. But you notice, whatever they did, if you're still a woman, still had a uterus, still can carry a baby. And People are grabbing these. Say, oh, look at this. This is a miracle. What miracle? It happened just as God said. She was a woman. That's why she can bear a child. Because that was what, that's how God made us. But we want to make changes. I don't want to step on toes. I don't know what pictures and plaques you have in your home. But every time I see this one, well, I used to like to read it. But all of a sudden, I start thinking. I can't remember all the words, but you would know what I'm talking about. Asking God to give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Wow. You really believe that? You really want that? So you go to California and they pass this law that it's unconstitutional to ban marriage between a man and a woman. Now two men can marry, two women can marry, and I want the serenity to accept that because I can't change it. Not a chance. I will never accept that. So I don't pray that. Yeah, I pray for the wisdom to know the difference. But I don't want to accept that because I can't change. Man is changing and he's going down and further down into degradation. You notice the Bible, what we read there, that those who do those things are worthy of death. And we say, oh, yeah, yeah, worthy of death. They should be put to death. They were put to death in the Old Testament. Wait a minute. Not only those who do those things. But what about those who support them? Oh, I am not like that, but I support them. You have pleasure in them that do. You too. You too should be under the judgment of God. I always talk about Lot, and I give Lot a hard time, you know, when he went down to Sodom. But you know something about Lot? When you read 2 Peter, he never took pleasure in what was going on in Sodom. His righteous soul, Peter tells us, was vexed with the conduct. He never accepted that immoral, evil lifestyle. He never accepted it. I don't know why he didn't leave. But he never accepted it. It made him sick to his stomach. So he didn't die. God delivered him. He didn't take pleasure in the lifestyle down in Sodom. Man makes changes. Man is calling for changes. But God makes changes as well. And he makes changes for the better. When God makes a change, he makes a change for the better. He gives life where there was death. That's what we read in Ephesians chapter 2. You have he quickened, made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. He has made you alive. He gives the Apostle Paul this message to preach to the people, to deliver them from darkness into light and from the kingdom of Satan unto God. Those are the changes that God makes. And it's always a change for the better. The apostle writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's been changed. He is a new creation. All things, the old life, are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. A very drastic change was made in the life of Saul of Tarsus. He was there Acts chapter 8, consenting to the death of Stephen. He's now armed with authority from the Sanhedrin to bring all those who call on the name of the Lord, to bind them, men and women. It doesn't make a difference. All that call on the name of the Lord, bring them and bind them and bring them to Jerusalem. Until at midday one day, he heard a voice and he saw a light. Oh, what a difference it made. This man who had this reputation of cruelty to the people of God, he met Jesus on the Damascus Road, and the Lord changed his life, transformed him from a persecutor to a beloved Christian. That's what Ananias called him when the Lord sent him, Brother Saul. Changed him. After being reluctant to go to him, the Lord told him he's changed. He went to the church there in Jerusalem and they wouldn't even go near to him. His reputation preceded him as he went to the church. They didn't know he was saved. They didn't know he was changed. They were running away from him until that dear man of God, that son of consolation, Barnabas, introduced him and told the saints, he's all right. The Lord has changed. But I want you to read what he himself said. You know, we used to sing when I was in Sunday school, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Paul now is traveling and he is going to the saints there in Galatians in chapter 1. He's visiting the people of God, and I want to read this because these are his words. He says, now the things which I write unto you, verse 20 of Galatians 1, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia and was unknown by face unto the churches. Not by reputation, only by face. They heard about him, but they never saw him. The churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only, verse 23, I love this verse, they had heard only he who persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. That's change. That's change you can live with. That's change for the better. That's how God changes. He transforms. He doesn't do partial work. He does a radical change in the life of a man. He brings him from one place to another. He takes him from one position and places him into another. That's radical change. Unknown by face, known only by reputation. But what they heard was that man who bound us, that man who arrested us, that man who persecuted us, now he is preaching the faith which once he destroyed. That's change, and that's how God works. The man in John 9 who was born blind. When the Pharisees and the Jews and the scribes, they try to find ways of discrediting the Lord. And they call him names, they even call him a sinner. The man says, listen, Whether he be a sinner, I know not. But one thing I know. That's change. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He opened the eyes of the blind. He has changed the people here. He has changed the believers. He has brought you from darkness to light. He has brought you from death to life. He has brought you from the kingdom of Satan unto God. That's what he has done in our souls, beloved. But you know, we always hear the saying, he is not finished with me yet. He is still affecting change. That is in my conduct, in my likeness to Christ. He keeps working on me. Because after all, beloved, we have been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. How does that happen? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and if you are not changing day by day, if you're not being transformed day by day as you get to know the Lord, as you look into the mirror of God's Word, the liberty, the perfect law of liberty, and see the beauties and the glories of our Lord, then you're not being changed. You're not being changed from one stage of glory to another. And that's the work of the Spirit as we are occupied with the Lord Jesus in his Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, that's the Word of God, the glory of the Lord, we see the Lord Jesus in his glory, in his exaltation, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. To be more like Christ. That's the work of the Spirit of God. Through the Word of God to change us day by day into that same image. And as we sometimes say, oh, to be like him. We want to be like him. We want to be changed in his image. But we will be changed. You know, we have been changed, we are being changed, and we will be changed. We will be changed. And I like the way Job put it, so I'm going to read Job. Job 14 and 14. You know that verse. Looking for change, change is coming. If a man die, Job 14 and 14, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change come. Change is coming. Job suffered a lot in his physical body. But Job was looking forward to the day when he would be given a new body, a changed body. He said in another place, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall live at the latter day upon the earth. And I, though worms destroy this body because he is going through suffering, yet in my flesh, in my glorified body, I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself and not another. That is the change that's coming for those who have been changed inwardly, who have been changed spiritually, who have been transformed. We are looking forward to that change. Job was waiting and looking forward to that change. Paul speaks of that change in Philippians in chapter 3. And verse 20, he says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our lowly body, that it may be fashioned like His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." No, that body that you have, even though you treasure it that much, it's not good enough. You're going to get something better. It's hard for somebody like me to believe that. Better than this? Don't lie. I thought I'd wake you up. Something better? A body like His glorious body. A body that's not susceptible to disease. It's a heavenly body. Because we can't enter heaven with this one. Because this flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We can't. We need a new body. And the Lord has promised that body. He's going to change this vilest body of humiliation. We don't have to worry about disease. We don't have to worry about pain. Because we're going to be given a new body. Nowhere in Scripture is that more comforting, beloved. We always use this at the funeral of the believers. 1 Corinthians 15, and why not? To comfort those that remain behind. Because what a wonderful comfort it is. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49 says, "As we have borne the image of the earthy." That's what we're wearing now. The body of the earthy. "We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And they're not talking about the nursery here. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Change is coming. "For this corruptible, this old house in which we live, it's getting weaker. It's going to put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality, a body like unto His glorious body. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, that then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory," and so on. You know the passage very well, and we're running out of time here. Not only are we going to be changed from corruptible to incorruptible, from mortal to immortality, but we're going to be changed from temporary to the permanent. And this is temporary. Get used to it, because you're not going to be in it for very long. It's temporary. That's what we have in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Temporary. It's called a tabernacle. a dwelling place, a tent of the dwelling place. It's temporary. And when it is dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's the change that's coming. You have loved ones that are sick and ill. They're getting ready to go to be with the Lord. They're going to be absent from this temporary house. They'll be given a permanent house, and they're going to be present with the Lord. Not only from temporary to permanent, but from being absent to be present. To be present with the Lord. First John 3. This is precious, beloved. It's about change, you see. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We shall be like Christ. It's not like we all are going to be looking the same. No, that's not what it's about. We're going to be like Christ. We're not going to be subject to evil. We're not going to be subject to pain. We've been given a heavenly body, fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's the change that's coming. But you know, beloved, there are certain things that should not and cannot be changed. You cannot improve on perfection. And that's who God is. He is perfect. And you read there in Malachi 3, and we're going to rush here because we're only going to take 5 minutes. Yeah, five. That's what God is. Malachi 3 and 6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Read it for yourself. We won't take all the time to turn there. Malachi 3 and 6, I the Lord, I change not. And you know it says, good for you, Israel. It's a good thing. Because if God would change, he would consume you. I the Lord, I change not. And that hireling prophet found that out. Balaam, he found that out after God told him not to go with Balak and not to curse the children of Israel. And Balak sent back to him. He says, stay with me overnight. I'm going to inquire of the Lord what he wants me to do. And God had already told him what to do. When he found out he couldn't change God, he said to Balak, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent or change his mind. Shall he say, and shall he not do it? Is he going to give a word and not bring it to pass? God cannot change. And yet we're trying to change the glory of the invisible God, the glory into the image of corruptible man. We are trying to change the image of the incorruptible God into the image of corruptible man. God cannot change. And good for you and me, beloved. He has given us his salvation. You know what? He's not going to take it back, regardless. You're saved by the grace of God. He's not going to take back the salvation he has given you. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's what he said. But the Apostle Paul talked about that too. In Romans 11, yeah, good for you, Israel. Good for you. Not only Israel, but good for you and me too, beloved. What does he say? Romans 11, 29 says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, without change. God's gifts, his gifts to us cannot be rescinded. Aren't we glad? Oh, I'm so glad that it's not about me. It's the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. God has given me eternal life. He's not going to take it back. And what he has given me, he will never rescind. It's not susceptible to change. That's our God. He doesn't change. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above. I'm quoting here. From the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness or variation, neither shadow of turning. There is no change when it comes to God. No change. But before we go, I have to read Hebrews 6. I have to read Hebrews 6 because that's the character of our God. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 17 says, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, here it is, the immutability of his counsel. When God gives his word, he keeps his word. He confirmed it by an oath. You see, you have the character of God and the word of God, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. The immutability of his counsel. What he says is not susceptible. I am the Lord. I change not. In closing, and I really mean in closing, I'm going to read it because I know you know it. Hebrews 13 and 8. Everybody knows that. Everybody waiting. When he's going to say that? Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday and today and forever. Oh, this is the 21st century, man. You gotta change. You gotta get new things. God doesn't change. He was holy yesterday. He's holy today. He'll be holy tomorrow. He gave his word. He's gonna keep it. He kept it yesterday. He's gonna keep it today. He's gonna keep it forever. That's our God. Not susceptible to change. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. God bless his word. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time spent around our Lord Jesus Christ as we look into the prophecies concerning him and the fulfillment when he came to this earth. We thank thee that he was faithful. We thank thee that he fulfilled all that was written concerning him. We thank thee that he is faithful even today. He has given us that eternal life. We shall never perish. It came at a great cost when he gave his life on the cross. We thank thee that our God does not change. Help us to be conformed to his image, day by day, as we look into the mirror of God's word. We ask thy blessing upon the saints. Watch over us now as we part the one from the other. Take us to our respective homes in peace and in safety.
Bless thy word to our hearts. Be with us and guide us and direct us in all things. We pray and give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.